Kira O'Connor. I am a junior at Gettysburg College, and I'm one of the program coordinators for the Campus Kitchen. If you have never heard of Campus Kitchen before, we have a little informative PowerPoint for you. In a nutshell, Campus Kitchens is a national nonprofit organization based off of the DC Central Kitchen. There are 29 campus kitchens around the country. And we are a food rescue program. We take food that is unserved but left over from a variety of different sources. It really differs by each kitchen, depending on where you are located, and repackage it into meals for families or community organizations that are food insecure. The logistics of what we do is we run cooking shifts to repackage and prepare meals, deliver meals, and encourage nutrition initiatives in our community. Our mission is to strengthen bodies, empower minds, and build communities. So we strive to be more than a service organization where people can come and just do community service and volunteer. We want to encourage education to break down stereotypes about poverty, which is ultimately to build a better community so people aren't food insecure, basically so our program does not have to exist, but the more education that we can get out there about issues of poverty and food security in our community, that's kind of what we strive for and our objectives. Campus Kitchens began, it's an offshoot, as I said before, of the DC Central Kitchen located in Washington, D.C. Robert Egger he owned nightclubs in Washington, D.C., and he saw how much food was wasted at the end of the night just based on his experience in the nightclub industry, and thought that it should be put to better use for the large homeless population in Washington, D.C., so he opened the DC Central Kitchen. It started the night that George Bush was inaugurated, so he took all of the food that was left over from the inaugural balls that were going on, which helped give him a lot of publicity, because obviously that's a huge event, and that's how the DC Central Kitchen started. And then Campus Kitchens, the Campus Kitchen at Gettysburg College opened in November of 2007 by a student who was taking a first-year seminar called The Literature of Homelessness in America. And they volunteer as part of a service learning trip. They go to Washington, D.C. for fall break and volunteer at the D.C. Central Kitchen. And she found out about the Campus Kitchens organization and decided to start one in Gettysburg. So that started in 2007. We are supported by the Center for Public Service at Gettysburg College. The Center for Public Service has a variety of different service organizations, after-school tutoring programs, adult education, immersion trips, things like that, and we are just one of the programs at the Center for Public Service. These are some of our statistics. We have about four cooking shifts a week. We get 4 to 5 volunteers at each shift. We serve around 200 meals, recover more or less 300 pounds of food, and have 30 plus volunteer hours, and since we opened, we have served 20,000 meals, recovered 35,000 pounds of food, and recorded 3,100 volunteer hours. This was since 2007. Some of our partners, which are our clients that we serve food to, are the South Central Community Action Programs, the Adams County Circles Initiative, the Adams County Office for the Aging, and the Lincoln Intermediate Unit. The agencies that you serve are very specific to Campus Kitchens. These were just the organizations in our community that needed meals. Nutrition education is another aspect of the Campus Kitchen. I am the nutrition education coordinator, and we have had a variety of after-school programs at elementary schools. El Centro is an after-school tutoring program, so in the summer, someone did nutrition education for them there. I'm teaching a nutrition education class at a bilingual charter school this semester. It really just varies by each year, each semester, what programming people need. We base that off of what kind of nutrition programming we implement. And adult education is another aspect of our program. The Circles program, which is one of the programs we serve meals to, it's a community group that helps people get out of poverty. We started an exercise program with them, and then the Fair Share Project is another form of nutrition education. Carter, do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Sure. The Fair Share Project is a project that's been supported by local farmers, and I'm going to talk more about the partnerships that we have with that. But basically, families in the food gap, which I'll explain in a bit, get vouchers to go to one of two farmers markets or both of them and pick up food there. So it's a way to improve access to really high quality, high nutrition food.
Yes, and here's an expansion on the Fair Share Project. As Kerr said, it's a food voucher program. It was made possible by donations from community-sponsored agricultural farms in our community. And the three of us participated in online fundraising. It was a competition between all the campus kitchens in the country. And we advertised and, you know, solicited donations from people in the community. And we raised, I think, $3,500 for it. So that helped to expand the program. It's like the same thing again. These are some of our food donors. Mainly, we get most of our food from the on-campus dining hall, which is pretty popular with a lot of campus kitchens around the country. The Gettysburg Hospital, a couple of different grocery stores, Sheetz, 7-Eleven, and we just have weekly pickups from food from those organizations. And then in the summertime, we get a lot of food from farmers markets, and those are different stands at farmers markets we get donations from. We are staffed by the Center for Public Service Program Coordinators, which is the three of us, and then we get volunteers from Gettysburg College and Gettysburg Community Volunteers. And these are just a couple of pictures. We have different things that we have done in the kitchen, delivering meals, farmers market. Just scroll through there. Okay.
So now I'm going to talk about some of the partnerships that we have in the community, specifically with farm groups and some of the experience I've had with them. And so we do pickups at two farmers markets. We do a weekly pickup. We get to know the farmers really well, which is a really great experience. And we also get a lot of food from gleaning. So there's a Adams County gleaning network. And what they do is they pick up food from farmers or pick food that farmers aren't going to sell and then donate it. They donate it to all sorts of SCAP programs, to food pantries, soup kitchens, and we can go access that. And that's one of the big sources of the food that we preserve for the winter, because getting vegetables in the winter is really difficult. We'll get canned vegetables and stuff like that, but it's really helpful for us to be able to freeze some of our own. And we share a walk-in cooler with the food pantry at SCAP. So that's a really great resource for us, because the gleaners will drop off a lot of food there. And if they do a drop-off on a Monday, then that food usually lasts the whole week. And we and the clients of the food pantry will have access to that and put out a lot of food. And actually, one of our challenges is getting all of that food to families. The needs there, it's just difficult to find ways if you get like 500 pounds of peaches in a week. So that's a great program. And we're actually going to go gleaning in a week or two, right, with one of our groups called Imprint. So that should be a lot of fun. It's one of the other groups through campus or the Center for Public Service. It's a tutoring program. So we'll go glean with the kids probably on a Thursday afternoon for an hour or so, which is going to be great, because if you have like 15, 20 people and you pick for like an hour, you pick up a lot of food. There are some challenges with that, though. There's no central depository for gleaned food. So when the gleaning network gets food or picks food, they'll drive around Adams County and drop it off at all of the different programs that they give to. And that is a huge time commitment for them. And they're all volunteer. They aren't professional. They're just doing that because they're local farmers who saw a need and saw the waste that was going on. So that's challenging. And then there's also not enough winter storage. We have two and a half freezers, and we have filled them up right now. And we had peaches last week that we could have preserved if we had more room to freeze. And then the other community programs would have been able to do that too if there was a bigger freezer. But despite all of that, in their first year, the gleaning network gleaned 80,000 pounds of produce. And then last year, they gleaned 130,000 pounds. And they don't know yet. They're still doing gleaning. There's a glean on Sunday, I believe. But it's probably not going to be a great year because of all the rain, and it wasn't a very good growing season. We also get occasional drop-offs from farmers in the area. There's a farm called Twin Springs Farm that was going down to D.C. to sell some produce, but for whatever reason, that didn't happen. So then they called us up and dropped, I think, 240 pounds of produce at our office just that day. We had no idea it was coming. It was awesome. We had like 20 cantaloupes. We had two huge boxes of onions, all sorts of other stuff that was in season. So that was able to go out not only to all of our normal clients, like the LIU meals, the Meals on Wheels that we put out, but we also took it to the homeless shelter, which is around the corner from our kitchen. And that was great because we gave them like six cantaloupes just because we had so much extra and wouldn't be able to do anything with it before it went bad. And then the Fair Share Project is that's a new program. And 25 families participate in that program. And all of those families are in the wage gap, which means that they don't get enough benefits to support themselves because their wages are too high. Actually, after a certain point, you start to lose spending power as your income increases and your benefits decrease more quickly than that increase in income. So these 25 families were getting $40 a week for 4 months in farmers market vouchers. And that was really great, but they also got to go to the market with a couple people from the community who are our partners who introduced them to the farmers, got to know the farmers a little bit better through that introduction, and they were also given nutrition classes at the farmers market. So they would see the food made, be given a recipe, and know what to do with some of this produce that they might not have encountered before. So that was awesome. And the CSA shares were donated by four local farms. We ended up with about $5,000 for that program through the March Matchness, which Kira talked about, and through the CSA share donations. We got referrals for that program through LIU Migrant Ed, through the food pantry, through circles. So we were bringing together all of the partnerships that we have in the community and using them to help us implement this program. We also partnered with a WellSpan nutritionist and a WIC and VITA teacher who did the nutrition classes, did translation, did all of that sort of thing. And they helped us connect with the families because we did serve a lot of migrant families, and I don't believe any of us are fluent in Spanish, right? Kirsty is? All right. But I'm not. So it was great to have Audrey there because then I could actually talk to these families when I saw them at the market. And then the farmers could also talk to the families. So that helped build those bridges. And we also partnered with a health sciences professor at Gettysburg College. And a student at the college is currently doing some research on how successful that program was. We have some ideas of the challenges we ran into, but once she's done with her report, we should know how to bring this project forward and how to make it better. Our role in this project, as I said, was primarily bringing all of these groups together and also logistics. We, I believe, printed the vouchers, we handed out the vouchers, and the challenge we had was getting the vouchers to these families, because they were usually at the farmer's market, I believe, for an hour a week, which is really rough if, say, the family has to be working then or has to pick up a child somewhere or doesn't have transportation at that time. So we did mail out some of the vouchers in the first week, but because it was a pilot program, we didn't really know how we wanted to proceed, so we stopped doing that after the first week. And what we found, at least at this stage, is that when families got the vouchers, they used them. So it doesn't seem like there were cultural barriers to them using the farmers market or that they were intimidated by the farmers or anything like that. They seemed to really enjoy going to the market and getting that produce, but they needed a better way to pick up the vouchers. So we're thinking about maybe keeping them at the farmers market all the time or maybe mailing out all of the vouchers and just making that our system if that works. Yeah, by the third month, only 75% of vouchers were being picked up, and by the fourth month, only 50% were. So that's a huge barrier to us. So once this report comes out, we'll be able to fix that and hopefully carry the program into next year and find a better way to do it. We also have another new program. It's an after-school snack program. We bought some granola bars and things like that from the food bank, and so we have a ton of those snacks to hand out to CPS programs, CPS tutoring programs. So we'll hand those out, but we also get fruit from the gleaners and from the farmers, so we've been handing out peaches and apples from Adams County too. And we hand out about 240 snacks a week, and that's a nice way for us to coordinate with the other program coordinators at CPS and really have even more partnerships and build more bonds between those programs. And I think that's about all I have.
So one of the most important parts of running the campus kitchen is getting volunteers. Our volunteers keep our project going. We have shifts every week. We need to staff them with volunteers. So we get our volunteers from a variety of different sources. Gettysburg College students and staff are great at signing up to volunteer. We just have an online sign up. And a lot of people will come just with by themselves or with groups of friends or from on-campus clubs. Habitat for Humanity comes out and volunteers sometimes. First-year seminars, like Kirsty and I took the Homelessness in America first-year seminar, and they have a service learning requirement, as did an environmental science first-year seminar that was about food and food policy. So we'll get weekly volunteers from classes. Greek life at Gettysburg College is very active in volunteering in philanthropy. Sigma Chi is a fraternity on campus, and we are their local philanthropy. So they host a fundraiser for us every year, which is very helpful. We also get people from the Gettysburg community. The National Honor Society volunteers a lot at the campus kitchen, as do students who are completing service requirements for their senior project from high schools. Church groups as well will come. They'll sign up for three or four shifts in a semester and come together to volunteer. The United Way hosts a Day of Caring every year, and we will have five or six volunteers from there. So we definitely pull from a variety of sources. We barely have to advertise at all. People know that it's there, and people do sign up, and it's not really a problem for us. One of the most meaningful partnerships, I think, for me, volunteer partnerships, has been with the Autistic Support Classroom at Gettysburg High School. The students that are in that class have started coming every Friday to volunteer for our Meals on Meal shift. They started in January, and the teacher had contacted us and thought that this would be a really good opportunity for them to get outside of the classroom and learn some important life skills and social skills. And the shift is on Friday mornings at 9 o'clock. So unless students are in class, there probably not a lot of people want to wake up that early to come and volunteer. So we've always had a little bit of a problem getting volunteers for that shift. So that worked out really well for us too. I was leading those shifts. So I was a little bit nervous because I'd never worked with students with learning disabilities or special needs or anything like that. I think the teacher was a little nervous too, because it would definitely be a new environment for the students. But it ended up working out really well. It's probably one of the best experiences I've had with campus kitchens thus far. I think it's pretty unique because it draws upon a lot of our objectives for breaking down stereotypes and using service and food as a tool. You know, we usually do it to break down stereotypes about poverty, to, you know, have relationships between middle and lower and upper class people in our community to build a better community and make those stratifications less evident. But I think for this, it was about learning just about different types of people. And the teacher was telling me that a lot of times they're funding for programs such as coming to the campus kitchen because they need transportation and teachers to support them gets cut because people on the school board or the principals or superintendent don't think that these experiences are important. They don't think the students are able to do things like this. But I watch them every Friday for a whole semester. They serve meals for 30 people. They're so enthusiastic. They come to the kitchen. They're so excited. They know what to do. They're really capable. And they would actually go to the senior center and deliver the Meals on Wheels after the shift and spend time with the seniors and talk and socialize with them. So it was really great for them as well. And I mean, they go above and beyond pretty much what all of our volunteers, they're capable of everything that all of our other volunteers are and go beyond that because they serve, they deliver the meals, they talk to the people that are receiving the meals, which is something a lot of times our volunteers don't do. So that's been really, I think, a very unique partnership for our campus kitchen. And they, we started last semester, they came all last semester, they came over the summer, and they're coming again this semester. Carter's leading those shifts, and they have been trying to take on more of a leadership role in the logistics and of the kitchen. They bought, I think, like 30 or 40 like washcloths for us, so we wouldn't have to use paper towels anymore. And then they will, every Friday, they take them and do laundry every week, which is like a good skill for them to learn. She said she really wanted them to learn how to do laundry. And they want to do the same thing. They want to get reusable aprons and just bring them back and wash them every week, which is great for us because we need the help, and great for them because it's a new skill for them to learn. So I think that has been very meaningful for me and really just exemplifies some of the objectives that Campus Kitchens is trying to achieve. Another aspect of Campus Kitchens that I coordinate is the nutrition education. As I said before, we've had a variety of different after-school programs, the Fair Share Project that we've tried to implement. We try to change it up every semester. This semester, I'm teaching a nutrition education class to 26 first graders at a bilingual charter school. I go every Tuesday. It's been very interesting. First graders are a little rambunctious and kind of crazy, but it's worked out really well. They're fun. It's kind of hard to like get a lesson that's basic enough that they can understand because nutrition can get a little bit complicated, but I've been teaching them about My Plate and fruits, vegetables, proteins, whole grains. We've been doing a lot of coloring, but I think they're learning, trying to get some like really educational activities, kind of utilize their energy and try to get them to learn. So it's been fun. But those are some of the nutrition initiatives that we have in our community. That's just one that I organized this semester.
Okay, I'm gonna talk a little bit about the community partnerships that Campus Kitchens has within the Gettysburg community, kind of the personal relationships that we have built. And to start, I guess I'll personally introduce myself. My name is Kirsty. I'm a senior at Gettysburg College. I'm an Africana Studies and Community Relations and Development double major. I've been a part of Campus Kitchens. This is my fourth year, second year as a coordinator, but as Kira said, I took the first year seminar and I got immediately involved through that course, and then I joined the leadership team, which is very crucial to our organization. It's comprised of Gettysburg College students that are interested in the Campus Kitchens project, not necessarily on the role of becoming a coordinator, because it is a kind of hefty load to add on to your academic work. But they are crucial to our program because they're the ones who help us do the planning for all of our fundraisers. They do pickups. Some of them lead meals if they're certified. And so those are some of the things that I got involved with at Gettysburg College. But one of the first organizations I'm going to talk about is the Circles initiative that we kind of touched a little bit on during the PowerPoint. The Circles initiative is a national model, but the Gettysburg Circles program works out of SCAP, which is, stands for the South Central Community Action Programming. And they're kind of the house of all of the programs that are available to members of the community. We're kind of going through a little bit of a transition period right now with the group. As I mean, a lot of you probably know, the budget cuts really hit hard to service organizations, and SCAP was one of them. We previously had a coordinator that would organize all of the logistics of the program, which, as we said before, is a program to educate members of the community about poverty and food access and things of that nature. And so we now actually have a student program coordinator through the Center for Public Service where we all work, who is helping to run the program as of now, because with the budget cuts, the position of the coordinator under SCAP was kind of taken out. So it still is running, and I hope to see it through, because I can honestly say that being a part of this organization is one of the best experiences of my Gettysburg College career, which is soon coming to an end. And so just to kind of talk about it a little bit more, so the mission is to end poverty, which is a big mission, but by doing this, we're doing it through education. So circle leaders are the families who are in poverty, and they're the ones who are in charge of the program and the goals that they set with their ally, which is a member of the Gettysburg community that is of middle or upper class socioeconomic status. And they're people that are, some of them do know about the socioeconomic status of a lot of people in Gettysburg, or that there is a large issues with poverty in the area, but some of them don't, but they're eager to learn, and they're partnered with a family. And they go through classes together. Well, the circle leaders go through classes, and they learn about, you know, social, cultural, political things of poverty, and, you know, kind of the wage gap that Carter talked about earlier, and how your benefits start dropping off when you start making more money, and how the country hasn't thought of a way to kind of do that, where families can, you know, become self-sufficient without also relying on government programs. So it's a wonderful model. A lot of Gettysburg College students are involved either through childcare or actually coming to meetings. A lot of the families are single parents. I'm actually gonna talk a little bit about one of the circle leaders. She actually graduated from the program. So she still comes to meetings, but I met her. I worked in one of the college dining facilities called the Bullet Hole, because that's our mascot's the Bullets. And we actually worked side by side making sandwiches together for people at the college. And you would have never thought that our relationship would go past Bullet Hole, making sandwiches. I remember meeting her. She's a very bubbly person. She talks about her children all the time, but she is a single parent. She has two boys, one is 16 and one's 20. And she also has two grandchildren, two boys. One was just born like 2 weeks ago. And she usually has about two jobs to be able to support her family. She's a single mother. And she has gone through the program. She's still does rely on some benefits, but she has become more sufficient, and she has found out ways to kind of be able to rely on herself and the others in our community that she didn't previously know were there to help her out. And I think of Carrie not as just of someone who worked next to me in Bullet Hole for 2 years, but as a friend. I can honestly say that the relationships that I've built at Circles with, you know, the women and the men of the community are some of the strongest, and I know that after I leave Gettysburg that I'll still be in touch with them. And I actually became an ally to a family as well. There's usually two or three allies for each family, and I went through the process. My circle leader actually left the program, but I can become an ally to another family. And I can't really speak upon the great impact. I can't really verbalize the impact that it has on the community relationships. But if you ever had the chance to sit on a meeting, you would, you know, immediately see the progress and just the community building that is being made. The meetings are only 2 hours every Wednesday, but it's an amazing time. And I can honestly speak for all of Campus Kitchens when we're honored to be a part of this program. Moving on, one of the other programs that we work with, as they spoke of before, is LIU, Lincoln Intermediate Unit. And this is a group comprised of mostly Hispanic members of the community that do a lot of agricultural work. Gettysburg has a lot of orchards, and right outside of Adams County, or of Gettysburg, is Rice Fruit Company, which is one of the largest fruit distributors in the East Coast. So there's a lot of work for the migrant populations in Gettysburg. But through that, many of them get paid way below minimum wage and don't have access to a lot of the programs that most Gettysburg residents could, either because of status of, you know, immigration status, but of other things as well. So this group is a group of need in our community, and so we package meals for them twice a week, and someone from the LIU delivers them to the families. And we also partner with LASA, which is the Latin American Student Association on campus, and they help us to plan a Thanksgiving meal for the family. And we last year was the first one I was involved in, and me and Kira actually made almost, I think, 10 turkeys, and we made them by hand, which, I mean, I guess that's how you make turkeys, but I never made a turkey before. And I called my mother and I asked for her recipe, and I think my hand smelled of garlic for like a whole month. But I was so, I think it actually made my semester. I always say my week or my month, but when the wife of the man who works for LIU, Jorge, who helps to deliver the meals and coordinate with us, asked me for the recipe and said how great the meal was, and I was, you know, in awe. I was like, you're kidding. Like, so things like that. And actually last night there was, LASA had a Latin American night, and they made food and to raise money for their club, and they donated 30 pounds of food this morning before I came to the conference. I took that over to the kitchen. So constantly interacting with the community, and, you know, I always see people on campus, they're like, oh, Kirstie, like, I meant to email you, like, we have, like, you know, I work with this, and, you know, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to have all this food so we can give it to you. And so that's just, like, one of the great things about campus kitchens and just being in Gettysburg. And the Thanksgiving meals that LASA, what we partner with LASA and have, is great because we get members of the campus community that speak Spanish, and we partner them with the LIU families, and, you know, the connections made over language and culture is something also great. And the last community partnership that we have is with the Senior Center, and Kira runs those shifts this semester, and we have student volunteers from the college, and they provide entertainment and games for the seniors, and again, relationships built over meal, and I know personal stories of many people who said that, you know, they did that as a part of a service requirement for a freshman seminar and continued to go for the next 3 years because of they never thought that they could have so much fun sitting with seniors and having a meal and just the impact that had on their experience at Gettysburg. So I guess just to kind of wrap up a little bit, Gettysburg College is a really unique place, I found. And it's not... At first glance, you wouldn't think that all of these things happened there, I think. I know when I first visited, I would have never thought that these are the things that I would get involved with, or I had these opportunities, or that Gettysburg students had the opportunities to become this involved in the community and have this much impact. But all of the community partnerships that I previously have talked about combine all the things that we have all talked about, community, college students, and, you know, addressing local food, the Local Foods Initiative. And, you know, we're all working together to address issues of poverty, food insecurity, and healthy nutrition, which I can say are all very important to Campus Kitchens as a national organization, but also to Campus Kitchens at Gettysburg College. And we're just really happy to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves and bigger than Gettysburg, but to also see the small achievements that can be made just by college students in a community that has a lot of need. So.
We're just going to open up for questions. Yes?
It's not technically on campus, it's just like 2 streets off campus. And it's in the South Central Community Action Program's like plaza. We have a bunch of different buildings, and we share the kitchen with a South Central Community Action Program. It's called
Food Service Development Program.
It's like a food training, train people to become cooks, professional cooks, and that's a SCAP program, and we share the kitchen with them.
Yes?
How did you hire that to use partner?
Yes. Megan Tree is very, she's the director of South Central Community Action Program. She's actually very involved. She's the, she is the director of SCAP, which circles, which is one of the places we serve a meal for. She's very involved with that program as well. So that's sort of how we got that connection.
Yes.
partnership is with just the autistic support classroom at Gettysburg High School, but that's the only partnership we have with students with special needs. That's just a volunteer partnership that the Campus Kitchen has with that classroom at Gettysburg High School.
And then is some of the teacher of that class more responsible for developing the curriculum or the
Well, they just volunteer at one shift making Meals and Wheels, so that shift has been in place since Campus Kitchen started, and then she just found out about it and contacted us and asked us if they could volunteer at that specific shift. So as we're going through making the Meals on Wheels, you basically, we have lunch boxes and we get like pre-made sandwiches and we'll cut up fruit and stuff like that and put them in the lunch boxes. She'll work with them and help them, and I just, and Carter probably does the same thing, we just sort of facilitate the kitchen part of it.
And she actually came up with the idea to get the washcloths and have them wash them, so they do have a lot of ownership of that shift and that partnership, which is really cool. What?
Yeah. there's a lot. So Servo is our biggest donor, and you'll see, you know, being a college student, you'll see, like, the food. Oh, like, I had that yesterday. And then, you know, I mean, it's good food. But we never really know what we're going to get until we're there at the shift. And so we have, like, a shelf, like, you know, four shelves of, like, dry foods. And, like, so we'll have pasta and extra canned vegetables and things. And we really like to use all the local foods from the farms, but sometimes we don't get enough donations. So it's a lot of creativity coming into it. Like, I cooked before a little bit, but you kind of are like, oh, yeah, like, I love Campus Kitchens. Like, it's going to be great. And you're like, wait, I have to, like, cook meals and, like, kind of make them good because, you know, I would want to eat something that's good. But we do have, like, staples that, you know, you kind of just have to, like, look and see, okay, I have pasta and I have turkey and I have a vegetable and, you know, they kind of would be bland together. Maybe I can make, like, a kind of stew, like, casserole thing and put it in the oven and then put, and then for the seniors, you know, some of them, they don't really like corn and you can't have anything too, like, spicy or salty. They're kind of very picky and they're very, they don't hesitate to let you know if they don't like it. And, you know, also with circles too, and you kind of have to, you take it because that's what it is. And, you know, at first it kind of like would hurt my feelings, like, wow, you know, like I really spent a lot of time on that. But I'd rather people tell me that, you know, what they do and do not like, because it's a meal for them. You know, even if they're coming and they deserve to have that meal, so I'm going to try to make it as good as I can. So it depends. You know, we never know what we're going to get, but some of us go in like the day before our shift to kind of plan out, and we'll grab things from the freezer and the walk-ins, and so there is some planning, but sometimes it's kind of a spur of the moment deal. Yeah.
We do. They set out that every meal has to have a protein, starch, vegetable, and dessert. Campus Kitchen Eats National, that's their requirements. We're trying to phase out desserts and make it more just like
fruit based. Yeah.
For dessert, if I don't have dessert, I don't know how I would take desserts. The nutrition part is very challenging. In the wintertime, you're not going to get fresh vegetables. We often have food drafts, but that are really just vegetable drafts, where we want people to bring in canned and frozen vegetables. And just making everything as nutritious and healthy as possible. It's challenging, but our dining hall is pretty committed to, they own, I think, 6 shares in CSA, so in season, they're very good at, and they care a lot about us. We have a fantastic relationship with our dining hall. They're not just, like, handing us the disgusting leftovers. Like, they, you know, you pick it up and they'll be like, oh, pair this with this. And, you know, they're committed to giving us nutritious food, and that helps us because we can give our clients very nutritious food.
Yeah. Well, on our CPS contract, it says 9. And that's how many hours that I will put on my timesheet a week. But I definitely, I speak for all of us when we do more than 9 hours a week, and mostly every week. It is a commitment, because not only are you, we all do at least a shift a week. Carter does 2. I do like the Wednesday shift, which is where I'm doing 2 cold meals and a hot meal in 2 hours. So that'll take up, like, I go in an hour to prepare early, and then I'll go to the circles dinner, so that's like a 5-hour gap of just, but then we also have office hours. Part of CPS, we have, like, social dialogues, and, you know, so there's other, not just campus kitchens as our priority, so I probably do, like, 15 hours a week, more or less, yeah.
No, I can explain that more, though. What happened was our boss, Kim Davidson, who is the
associate director
of the Center for Public Service, wanted to organize this program, and she and the summer interns from this summer put it together, and we got 4 CSA shares donated from different farms in the area, and then we sold those CSA shares, and that got us like $1,500. And then March Matchness was a competition between the campus kitchens, and we actually won. We got $3,500 through that. So we had somewhere around $5,000 for the program, and that went into getting the vouchers and paying for everything, printing. I think at the moment we're still looking at how the program went and how to improve it. I don't know if we'll get CSA shares donated again next year. We could also do a fundraiser. The program's just winding down for this year, and we have until the spring to put it together again. So we're looking to do that.
Always looking to expand. I mean, pretty much it's just student generated. That's how ours started. Was a student who was, like a sophomore. Or she was a freshman.
Yeah, right? Lisa was a freshman.
Yeah, she was a freshman. And there, I think it's, there are logistics. You have to have a place to cook. You have to know that you're going to get food donations. And there is an application process, but I think the Campus Kitchens National Organization is very, they're always looking to expand. They're very supportive. As long as you're, and Gettysburg College is extremely supportive of the Campus Kitchen. Mm-hmm. They're very proud of it. It's something they publicize a lot. So we get a lot of support. So I think as long as your school supports it and you have facilities and you have opportunities, then it's.
Yeah. And they'll, if you contact like the national office and, you know, have interest in starting a program, they'll set you up with someone that'll help you kind of get all that logistics together. So if you're like, you know, how to find students to kind of run the program, or you're going to have to hire like more like an AmeriCorps Vista who is going to be like actually running the program, and we had one a few years ago that kind of did that kind of in the interim period when there wasn't as many students to kind of run the program. And, you know, who are going to be the people that you're going to seek to have, you know, be the people that are going to donate, and where's the need in your community. So they'll help you kind of figure all of that out. They're really great with that. And there is an application process, but they're looking, you know, to set up campus kitchens all across the country in every area, you know. So if you guys are interested, that's the part that, you know, I feel like the hardest part is done, and, you know, that you're actually committed to doing that. And then kind of going from there is just the logistical piece.